Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
And as always, we're going to treat our audience to a little bit of sports talk. We won't spend a lot of time, but we're just passionate about sports as well as our finance. So we like to give sports a few minutes of our time.
The one time that I would root for the University of Michigan is for them to beat the Buckeyes.
Okay.
And did they buck the eye? Man, they went into somebody's house and they said, whose house is this?
Yeah, man. They made it look easy.
Man, it looked beyond easy, Tony, because it was a game going into halftime.
Yeah, it was. It was a game going in, was still tight in the halftime.
When they say somebody say, did Harbaugh go off into his bag? He went off into a bag like he was at Stanford.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to air this out like we playing USC or UCLA. And I'm going to show you what kind of game we got, because the running back that's a Heisman.
Yeah, Blake Corum.
Candidate, he didn't even touch the field.
Yep, he's out. He got knee surgery. Got to have knee surgery.
His backup.
Edwards
showed out.
Yeah. Yeah, they had no answer for him, man. It's like the secondary was like a sieve.
Yes.
You know, I didn't see Michigan throw the ball that much downfield.
Yeah, I just felt bad for our hometown kid, Cameron Martinez. I felt bad because he was prepared based on what his coaching staff gave him.
Absolutely.
Right? So other than that, we encourage him. We want to keep on encouraging him, even though he in Buckeye country, that's where he want to be at.
Yep.
But he's still on prime time, so we can't knock him.
Can't knock him, man. Yep. You know, and didn't really get a lot of playing time throughout the year. And then it's like,
but in the big game, he on stage.
Biggest stage, they threw him in there, man.
He represented. He represented our hometown. So win or loss, we still encouraging you and behind you, young brother. So, but you ain't Michigan. So, and I'm not a Michigan fan, but I got to root against Ohio State when it comes to our home state.
That's so, absolutely right.
We
man.
Love you. We love you, Cameron. So,
yep. And we hope you know, you have a better season next year. I mean, they could still make it into the playoffs.
They number
that,
five, right?
I think they gave them number five.
So Michigan lose in the
– Purdue, well, they think the team that would possibly lose is USC because they're number four.
Yes.
TCU number three, Michigan number two, Georgia number one.
Georgia ain't lose.
Georgia is a juggernaut, man. Don't nobody want to play Georgia.
Georgia's not losing to
them. I wouldn't want to play
them. Everybody's scared of Georgia.
And they should be.
I'm going to be second. Hey, I made it to the game.
Those are pro athletes playing in college.
That's right.
That's what Georgia got, man. Yep.
Thoroughbreds.
I wouldn't want to see them, brother.
You're right about that.
Yeah. So then they're going to go to what? They did decide to expand the playoffs. So in coming years, teams like Ohio State that, you know, would have won loss. Will still have a shot at playing in the national championship, which I think they should.
Yeah, but that's why you bring in the NIL deals now.
Yeah.
So now the kids getting paid, the sponsorships show up when the playoffs expand, and you got to pay them kids to show up on that day because some of them trying to claim for the NFL. Be like, hold up, what's my stake in this if I play?
Yeah.
You got to run me a check.
Well, we all know it's all about money in sports in America. Be whatever level after college. It's all about the money.
It's all about that.
And it's starting to get like that in high school.
Yes, it is.
I watched some teams last night on ESPN, some of those academies that play all over the country.
The basketball teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched them too on the NBA.
Don't think that these schools coming up with the money for these teams to travel. When you playing on ESPN.
Oh, they paying for you to travel.
You're getting paid.
Yeah,
you're getting paid. So, but yeah, and Mighty Big Reds went down.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I don't think many people thought that they were good enough to make it as far as they did.
After the first game of the season, even though it was Warren A. LaSalle.
They struggled against Kentwood.
Yes, they did.
Normally, we take Kentwood and take him out behind the shed.
But I'm going to say this. We didn't know who our quarterback was going to be.
Right.
And now we got an MLive Offensive Leader of the Year.
Yep.
Out of a kid that's community-based, that everybody know, right? Since he was a knee hopper, a grasshopper.
And you look at him, but you know the kid has a heart of a lion.
I saw him playing against King. It was one play. Our best play for him is two of them. Three of them, actually. No, it's one of them in the same one. When they was on the goal line, red zone, he got it, ran all the way to the left, to the middle of the field, couldn't get in. Scanned the field, ran all the way to the right, to the
opposite
right
side. Yep.
Saw the post. No, he went at the player. The guy hit him so hard. I was like, he might be done for the game. Got up, shook it off, touchdown.
Yeah.
I was like, woo-wee. I said, he's ready.
Yeah.
And it's to be a junior, to have to fight for that quarterback spot. Cause see, Muskegon don't, they usually don't start junior as quarterbacks.
Rarely. You know, rarely. Martinez was probably one of the last ones.
Yeah. Because Mississippi didn't do it. He had to share.
With Cleo Pemberton.
Yep. Everybody else didn't. D Thor, when he came in.
Nope.
He had to wait.
Yeah.
Behind Jalen. Jalen Smith. He had to wait.
Jalen Smith. Yep.
So it's like, when you look at that, when a kid come in and could be offensive player of the year as a junior, but then also had to fight for the starting job with a senior,
mm-hmm.
to be at the stage, to take his team, and had the components with the coaching staff and everybody trust him to get to that space. I got to commend him as an individual, but also the team for recognizing that he was the guy for the job.
They will win the state championship in 2023. I guarantee it. From what I've seen that's on the board for next year.
Yes, sir.
Nobody going to touch this football team, man. De La Salle going to get a payback, too, when they come to Hackley Stadium.
Oh, yeah, we do back-to-backs. We go there, you come here. Yeah. We got that money got to get spread it out.
Right. So, I mean, he graduated a whole boatload of seniors. But, yeah, they'll be back. They'll come here next year. And, there were three back-to-back teams this year in the state finals. Belleville, whose coach got fired.
Yep.
King.
They won, didn't they? Belleville win?
Belleville won.
Yep.
They won their back-to-back. King, back-to-back. And De La Salle were back-to-back champions. So, that's all right. Muskegon be in the mix next year, baby.
Yep. So, speaking of that, I mean, speaking of Muskegon being in the mix, I mean, we got money in the mix with the student loan forgiveness update,
man.
Where Biden was like, hey, if you got the Pell Grant, you get $20,000. If you don't, you get $10,000 off. And then the court stepped in. Some from different states and say, nope, that's illegal. You can't do that. You can't do this. So now the Supreme Court is looking at it. And where are we at right now, Tony?
Well, take a look at the six states. Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, South Carolina.
Oh, that's all.
Okay. There's none of the major states, right? New York, California, Texas, Florida. None of those are in this challenge.
They're in the Big 12 area.
Yeah, in middle America.
Nothing but where everybody yodeling and coyotes roaming.
Yeah, absolutely. Farmland.
Yeah, they're like, whoo.
So that just leaves you to think about what the heck is going on, man.
That's the land grant people that inherit that land from the Indians, right?
Oh, yeah.
When they started, said, we're going to make a college.
Inherited from the Indians, they took it.
They took it. So then now they complaining. About somebody getting a benefit when a lot of that area was
stolen.
Yeah, come on now. You saying the words that I've been thinking about saying on the radio, but you repeat my thought.
Man.
Yeah, they were stolen. You're right.
Yep. So we
got Wall Street area where they burned that down.
Down in Oklahoma.
Yeah, those areas that's trying to say, no, stop the student loan. Stop that. They don't deserve it.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier what the timetable looks like because it is going to the Supreme Court.
Yes, sir.
But there's some caveats to the decision by the Supreme Court. If they say, okay, it's not unconstitutional, move forward, then I think at that point in time it would actually take place. But if not, then you said it was like
June 30th. So for me, if they don't rule on it, I'm done. I'll be done with my whole student loan if he forgives or not, because I got 8 payments left.
Well, then you should be in line for a rebate or a refund.
A check. I should get a check. I'm done.
You still should get a check.
Yeah, I should be getting a check. They should be letting me know now if they're going to say June 30th, I'm done because I don't.
Yeah, you can't stop, right?
Yeah.
No, you can't stop paying. You're too far down the road.
Yeah, I'm done. I got 8 more payments. I'm done. So you're saying June 30th with if you do the $20,000, should I get that?
Why not?
Should you give me a $20,000 check if I miss the rebate? And you say, yeah, we're going to do it, and I'm done paying?
Why penalize you for keeping your obligation?
That's something to think about. Like, how are we going to get everybody this? Oh, Chauncey just finished his, but I was part of that process where I qualified for it. So do I get a $20,000 check back?
Or if you don't, give me a $20,000 tax break then.
Yes,
take 20 grand off my Adjusted gross income.
I like that better than the money. Somebody like, why would you want that more than the money? You just don't know.
Yo, no. Take the tax credit for the 20 grand.
Yep.
Because that's going to lower your taxable income.
But this is stuff to think about. Like, so if you got payments out there and they say June 30th, but they still got the public loan forgiveness going and those months are counting, but you won't get the 20,000, you're going to miss out on something, a benefit. So it's all the timetable. It's all a game.
And they're saying that the reason they're challenging it is that these institutions would lose money based on the fact they're not getting these loans repaid. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, a lot of these, the payouts were guaranteed by the government anyway.
Yeah, they gave them out. That was free money. You walk up on campus, you was getting that check.
Right.
I remember that, getting that check. Thank you, Pell Grant. I think I got probably like 17 grand from them over my 4 years. I needed that every dollar. It put me in a space where I could possibly pay rent or get a vehicle, transportation, get some food. It helped me get over the margin where it was like I was struggling. It gave me that extra little cushion I needed to have a couple dollars in my pocket every month on campus, that little check.
To keep you engaged in going to college, right? Yeah, if that hadn't happened, you may have just dropped out.
Or did something illegal on campus.
That
goes some books.
We've seen that happen.
I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're on campus, you got to figure it out. So if you don't have no way to have and make the ends meet, what you going to do?
By any means necessary, you're going to survive.
Yep, so that Pell Grant really helped out. So he just looking out. And speaking of looking out, we got the railroad coming on through.
Yep. That's
during our Black Friday month.
Yeah, you know, man.
We in the last quarter in the last month right now, Tony.
Last quarter in the last month. And the economy is, you know, a lot of things are happening where, like, you know, they're slowing the economy like they wanted it to. Right, they didn't want to slam the brakes on it.
Right. The railroad's gonna make it slam the brakes.
Yeah, there was talk about 750,000 jobs, man.
Being
lost in connection to the rail system, because if you can't get all these goods and stuff through the rail system, people will get laid off. Right, a lot of fertilizer, a lot of natural resources are carried through the rail system, and we talked about earlier how this country was built, right. The first mode of transportation in a large transportation mode was the railroad. And the railroad is still relevant today when it comes to moving goods and services for this country. Truckers can't take the bulk that the railroad can. And as a result of the strike, it would potentially cripple the country again, give another shot to inflation. Right, we're already struggling with this thing, man. You know, so like I say, the Feds kind of got the economy slowing down, where the housing market is always one of the first things they want to slow down, which it has, and that's why they did it. But it had to go through Congress, right? And one of the stickling points we had talked about earlier was they got their wage increase, but they wanted 7 sick days. They worked through the pandemic, not getting a lot of time off. Congress said, okay, we'll go along with that. But the Senate voted it down. Senate voted it 80 to 15. They voted it down.
Well, they didn't really want it at all. Man, that's ridiculous. But then, listen to what I think, Tony. Like, we're in a space now. You come from a generation. I was raised by a generation where, like, working real hard was like the thing, right?
Yeah.
But for some people, that traumatized and brought stress on and ended lives early, right?
Sure, it did.
So when you couldn't have sick leave, on to the next man, but you can't treat America like that now.
No.
We got better technology and systems, so it's got to be
healthcare.
People looking for wellness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to work, but give me some time where I can take care of myself.
If I get, contract COVID, you want me to come to work?
You better come. I'm paying you all this money.
Yeah, there's some guy sitting in an office building making those calls, but not the people that's down there working every day on the railroad, switching the cars out. It's manual.
It's cold outside.
Still a lot of manual labor. Yeah.
It's raining, right? Yep. Severe weather out there.
Yeah, I think it was a travesty not to give those employees the 7-day sick days, right?
But then you got to think. So then when you think about a company paying, right? You think about a company paying, and this is like just understanding that system. So for every dollar you pay, you got to pay like 75 cents for benefits, right?
Yeah.
So like if I pay you a dollar, I gotta really pay you $1.75
Yep.
To have benefits. So you like, well, I'll give you the money, but I can't give you the wellness.
Nope, not gonna give you the wellness. Which means you have to hire more people as well.
Yes.
Okay, because if people are off, you have to have a system to backfill these critical jobs.
Because I got benefits added on to this number. I'm adding you, right?
Yeah.
But if I just give you the money, that was some COVID money, some extra money or whatever, you good. That'll carry us over for the next 10 years. Mm. Like, no, what about my bennies though? What about work loss, work comp, right? Sick leave, FMLA. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. That costs too much.
Mm-mm. No, man. And you know, the railroad system has been subsidized by the government for a lot of years. And I think that's why the government feels so emboldened to take this step. It's like, you know what, we putting half the bill for you guys, so we're gonna have some say so in how this thing is ran.
Let's take it here. Like, if anybody knows, Discovery Channel had a documentary called How America Was Built. Now, but this is me. I loved history as a kid.
I know I do.
I love, because I know that if I know what happened to my ancestors, I know what can possibly happen to me, right?
Yeah.
And I can avoid it, either my health, my wealth, or my relationships, right? Personally or socially. And when you learn that the rail system was a very important component that led up to after the World War II or after World War I or during the Constitution days, right? The railroad played a significant role through building America.
Building America.
To getting to the point, even when a competitor of the automobile came.
Okay.
Vanderbilt was part of that because they needed his rail system to transport cars and the raw materials to make the vehicles and the homes and to span the West, right?
Absolutely correct.
So America like, no, we gonna step in because the rail system is the foundation of this economy. It's forever.
Forever. Very essential. Okay. They're just not raw materials, but the Amtrak system in America. And it's not so much in our area, but if you go to the larger cities, New York,
Chicago,
and you see those rails, right? You know, the
California,
the commuter systems.
That's right.
And those large, that is still a part of the rail system, man. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, man. It is a critical part of America's success. And we just cannot take it lightly, but I really believe those people deserve that 7 days. I think we missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. How does that go back with the same issue our President Obama had when it came to the rail system? That was more about converting it, right? And making sure it's
robust, making it more robust.
Yeah.
Getting the high-speed rail systems into America. Because I would say when you look around the world, like in Europe, the rail systems are a lot more advanced because they use them a lot more extensively than we do for passenger service.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Obama was looking at, was saying, you know what, we're behind the world with our infrastructure when it comes to transportation by rail for individuals.
But then that plays the game into where we at right now. So see how that stack against us?
Yeah.
If we would have expanded.
Appropriated the dollars.
That's right. So then we would have been in a space to say, oh, this is part of the plan. We don't have to reject this because this is a part of an overall plan for growth and expansion. But absolutely, when you look at it like half and half nots, no, we just going to throw a little money at it and just keep the same system going.
Well, you know, when he got the Affordable Care Act.
There go.
The Republicans would say, hey, that's enough. He's not going to get nothing else. So that rail system you're talking about,
That's why we're in that problem today.
Your name won't be tied to it. You know, already stuck us with the Affordable Care Act. So that's, you know, Lindsey Graham's of the world was saying, you know, they'll never let anything like that happen again, where a president can get something passed that was so, he was so passionate about. So, but yeah, that's what hurt him, man, was the fact that he got the Obamacare, and it stood the test through the Supreme Court. Through the 45 tried to strike it down, but it's still today the Affordable Care Act, or commonly referred to as Obamacare, and it's here today, and it surpassed his administration, couldn't stop it.
And it's still here today, you're right. So that's how we got to get with our rail system. We got to get there. But speaking of getting the system together, like, we got a Social Security Ray's coming.
Yeah.
Our retirees.
Yep.
How much money they gonna get? How much bread? What's happening? How is it gonna help with inflation?
It's a cost of living, right?
Yep.
Which started in the auto industry years back called COLA. It had never been a system in place that would automatically trigger a wage increase until the auto industry negotiated, the UAW negotiated a COLA, a cost of living adjustment, is what it stands for. So if inflation goes over a certain amount, auto workers got an increase in base pay in order to help hold off on inflation. So the federal government basically took up that same concept when it came to Social Security benefits. And this year, it will be 8.7% increase in your Social Security for those that are retired.
That's past 3-6%. They get looking out.
Yep.
That's 2% over what you would think. How you talk about 3-6%?
It is, yeah.
They went up to 8, okay.
Yep, 8.7. In 1981, right, again, when we were struggling with inflation, and that's when interest rates went up.
Reaganomics coming, hitting you.
It was 11.2 that year. They got 11.2 cost of living. So this is the biggest increase in 41 years. So the average monthly Social Security payment for all retired workers will rise to an estimated amount of $1,827 in 2023. It increased from $1,681. And it's come out to about $146 a month that anybody that's retired and receiving Social Security will get as an increase. Those payments will start in January of 2023. Also, if you are a beneficiary, right, you got Social Security under this being a beneficiary.
Yeah, I got up to until I was 23.
Yep.
Because I stayed in college.
Because
they had that old rule. Yep. Man, that was good looking right there.
Tell
Thanks,
me about
Dad.
It. I got it too.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks for putting your 40 years in at
yep.
CW.
Yep. And then he retired on disability. So as a sibling or a child.
Yes, sir.
You also got Social Security benefits.
Yes, I did.
Because he had SSI disability.
Yep.
So those folks will also get an increase if you're receiving Social Security disability.
Wow.
Yep. So, hey, come January, it'll be a big increase for those that are receiving Social Security, be it through disability or your retirement. And then Americans who retire at 66 or 67 will see a bump in their maximum benefits next year, which will go to $3,627 a month.
How much? Who's that?
If you retire at the age of 66 or 67 next year, your monthly benefit from Social Security is going to be $3,627 a month. Which is an increase from the $3,345. And they're also going to have it where, you know, you can reach a point where in your income where you stop paying Social Security income tax, right? So right now it's at $160,000. And in 2023, it's going to go to $147,000. So if you're into that six-figure job and you're getting paid $170,000 a year, once you get over the $147,000, you no longer have to pay into the Social Security tax for that year. So that's another benefit that you get. So the Social Security is going to a lot of changes, which
it's
is
paying for the if
good.
You work. If you work, it's gonna look out for you.
Yep. So
man,
that's good to hear, man.
Yeah, that's good. Good to hear for somebody like myself that's probably like 9 years away from. Doing something.
I'm not Social Security.
Yeah, not getting Social Security, but like, you know, retiring.
Looking at it anyway.
Yeah, and then working again, coming back and doing something different. But like.
Yeah, because I mean, at that age, right, you can still work full time. Once you get 67, you can work full time and your Social Security is not taxable.
Wow. Man, that's not bad.
Nope.
But, you know, speaking of taxes, the crypto losses, they took an Elroy. With a spell with not EL, but a loss.
The FTX meltdown.
Another one
bites the dust.
Another one?
You know.
My coins, my digital coins. What's going on?
And, you know, and what's we've talked about on? This, right? Yeah.
We talked about this a long time ago. I came to you with it years ago. I was like, Tony, I can make some money. I'm going to put $5,000. I'm going to put $10,000 in this crypto. I think I can make it. Yeah, you looked at me like, oh, be a fool if you want to.
And it's like anything else that's new, man. The people that got into it early, they probably did make money off of it, right? I know there's no probably. They did.
They did.
But those that came late got burned, okay? It kind of equated to the dot-com bubble, right? At one time, every time you turn around, there was a dot-com, and then the bubble burst.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a few that's still, you know, that's still in there, that's hanging in there. But crypto, because it was unregulated, it just was not managed. There was no oversight. And these guys was taking this money in, and these crypto people that were investing it, and they were taking this money and investing it in other areas. So when folks came to say, hey, I want my money, it was not there. They'd already use it over here or use it over there. Whereas, like, you know, if you put money in the bank, right, the FDIC says that at least up to $250,000 of your money is guaranteed. If this bank folds, you're going to get that back. Crypto that doesn't have those kinds of protections. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that came into this thing thinking that it was going to get rich quick, took their 401k, poured it into this thing, maybe remortgaged their homes.
OJ Beckham.
Okay.
Took a whole NFL contract on Bitcoin or crypto, whatever it is.
It's worthless.
And his money ended up being like a minimum salary.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago by, you know, these celebrities getting sued because they were used as pawns and puppets to say, hey, if you're not on this, you know, if you don't get on this FTX train, you're going to be left behind.
And give you $3 million in Bitcoin. Come on in. Just put it on your Twitter. Put it on your Facebook.
Yep.
Put it on your Snapchat. Just come on. Just do that for us.
Right.
Like, that Kardashian girl, they made her give back what?
She didn't get back. They fined her.
Yeah, they fined her like $2 million.
And now they're looking at some of these other celebrities. She ended up
giving the money back to them.
Brady's one of them. There's a couple of stars that we've seen that had promoted this crypto, and all these people got burned. So, and this is not the end. This is only the beginning.
Man.
I don't think crypto is going to be what people thought it was. And when the federal government, the securities regulators get done with it, it'll be a system where it's almost like penny stocks. Okay?
Crypto and penny stocks.
Trust me. That's it.
Man, that's rough. So that's all going into our wrapping it up for the show today with interest rates, job report, inflation update. That all fluctuates with the crypto, doesn't it?
Well, not as much. Only for the simple fact is crypto was not a major player in the overall economic indicators. All right. Economic indicators we look at is the jobless, right? Well, unemployment is still at 3%. They figured that it would be, the jobs report came out today. And they said, well, we figured it'd be about 200,000 new jobs added. Well, that number got blew out the water. It was 200 and almost 300,000 jobs. So in other words, the interest rates didn't slow that part of the economy. We do see that the housing part has, for the simple reason is that the mortgage rates jumped in and a lot of people backed out of the housing market. So that's one thing they wanted to see. But they figured it also would show a slow growth in hiring, which it hasn't. Prices, inflation right now, the last number was 7.7%. And then, you know, one of the things you ask yourself is, okay, what is the rest of the world? How is inflation affecting the rest of the world? And I thought, okay, let's do some, I'm gonna do some research on that. So right now, the November numbers were 7.7% inflation in America.
Okay.
Zimbabwe is in Africa. Their inflation numbers is 269%. Lebanon.
Oh, they struggle.
Oil rich company, country, 158. Venezuela, 156. Syria, 139. Sudan, 103. Argentina, 88. Turkey, 85. But there are countries that don't have that problem of inflation.
China. China.
2.1% inflation. Saudi Arabia.
And almost a zero COVID rate, too. They like, they not playing.
Oh, they don't play about COVID. It will lock you up and throw away the key.
That's right.
Nobody on the street. And if you caught on the street, you're going to jail.
And they jail something different.
But Saudi Arabia at 3. And you named Switzerland.
Yeah.
At 3.
I knew that they always get it right.
Japan, small 3.7. Country, but
they know how to manage that money and make it happen.
Yep. So then Indonesia, 5.7. France, United Kingdom at 11. Germany at 10. Mexico at 8. United States, 7.7. Russia, 12.6. So we're not the only ones that are dealing with inflation. Other countries are just being just basically decimated with inflation, where they can't even afford to buy goods and services because the prices just keep going up and up and up.
Man, just imagine, I was listening to something the other day, and they were saying that more wealthy countries, the population is stagnant or shrinking because yep. people making more money, but the population is getting older, but they're not having kids. And then the poor countries are having more families,
yep.
and they're growing, right? But then when you get those inflation numbers for a population that's growing with poor people, that's going to create more famine.
Yes, it is. Yeah, those countries that have the outrageous inflation are probably the countries that have the higher level of poverty in the world.
But they got more people because the population is booming. India and other spaces like that.
Yep.
India is one of the countries that you would name as having the population booms.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Some of the other third world countries that we know we talked about. But yeah, those more industrialized countries don't have as much. You know, in 7... To us, I mean, that hurts, right? 7% is hurting. Can you imagine living in a place, man, where you got 88% inflation, like in Argentina, Turkey, Sri Lankan? Yeah, so we're not where we want to be, but, I mean, we're kind of headed down the right road.
Okay, yep. So that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.